This past week, it was a beautifully silent week. My parents were busy with a lot of things. The farm was my retreat house this past week. I'm finding more and more as the years tick by that I really have a contemplative soul, more so than I thought in my younger days. And I needed that sacred rest. My daily reflections came from a series I found by Bishop Barron before he was bishop, and some scripture passages I woven in times of prayer. And an interesting theme began to emerge, one that I did not anticipate. Am I able to find joy not only when the waters of life are calm, but am I also able to rejoice in times of difficulty and struggle, tragedy, in times when my heart does not feel like rejoicing? And to me, when I hear that first reading, it's interesting how after retreat, certain things of Scripture can jump at you that didn't necessarily jump out in the past. They were rejected, they shook the dust off their sandals, went to the next town, and what's the next thing that is stated? They rejoiced. Think about that. I don't know about you, but for me, at times when I have been rejected in life, my initial reaction isn't, oh, yay! But usually it's like, thank goodness I don't have to deal with that thing anymore. Better off to just kind of let things be. And then in the book of Revelation, who were these people waving the palms in this new creation? The people who had survived the time of tribulation. And what was their hearts filled with? Not, oh, we finished. We found a way through the tribulation and dragging ourselves through. No. They found joy. They were declaring victory. They were rejoicing. My gut tells me I'm going to be unpacking this for a while, so my apologies that you're going to have to hear about this for at least a couple weeks. But one of the things that struck me, so I got home, and as typical as the case is, any pastor, but also Pastor Plustine, looked at the email and and started to wade through the ocean of catching up from the week. And I had a number of emails this week from very good lay faithful that ironically represent what I would consider both ends of this argument that are scared this weekend. They're scared because in the news media, they're seeing, because of the leak that came out from the Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade, on both sides, they were like, Father, what if there's protests at the church? We're hearing these calls to protest, and what do we do? And, you know, it's nobody encouraged that I barricade the church or anything like that, thank goodness. But I could kind of hear very choppy waters. And we'll save another homily for another time to talk about, you know, the whole Roe v. Wade thing. It's a lot more complicated than you may think on the surface. But when I responded to them and responded to my brother priests, because I did feel that as dean I needed to, when I wrote to my brother priests, I said, you know what? Because I did a little looking, and to be quite frank, a lot of the stuff that people were sending me kind of looked like red herrings. It just kind of looked like, you know, kind of the things to get people all worked up about, you know, something, and to try to create something that isn't there. And I said, you know what, my gut tells me that we're going to be just fine this weekend. But remember this, if there are protests, if somebody does come into the sanctuary, please don't. We went through that before, about 4 years ago. remember that you act in persona Christi. Remember that you act in the person of Christ. And reflect to anybody who may protest, whether you are in agreement or disagreement with protesters, reflect to them the love, respect, and dignity that you want them to show to you. Keep that peaceful heart. Let's not allow this to become, the next, series of riots and all that kind of stuff. Let's get away from the violent heart. Let's find joy in struggle. Let's find peace and tension. And trust if we place all this in the Lord's hands, we'll be okay, regardless of what happens with Supreme Court decisions or, as I anticipated, now the new laundry list of laws that are trying to replace this. And blah, 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 blah. Welcome to why I don't like politics anymore. Welcome to why I consider myself a political orphan in our society. I have no representation. But what I do have is Christ. And what I do have is you, my family. And what I do have is the community of faith. And what I do have is the call of Christ to me, one of his sheep. Father, we thought you were the shepherd. That's the big mistake that we priests make. If we think that we're the shepherd, we've lost the meaning of this gospel. I am a sheep, as you are too. There is but one good shepherd, and he is Christ. Do I hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? Do we hear the call and the example of the early apostles to live a peaceful life? And even if we find ourselves in times of rejoicing or times of needing to shake the dust from our sandals, do we do so with a heart of rejoicing? Rejoicing in the Lord and finding peace. That to me is the true disposition of that first fruit of the Holy Spirit, of which we call joy. So therefore this week I would ask you to pray with this one question, my dear friends. Is the waters of your heart calm, or are they choppy and stirred up? Do you find yourself in a position where rejoicing and joy is easy? Or do you find yourself in a position of feeling, Father, my heart doesn't want to give rejoice at all? Remember the Lord's command. Rejoice, I say to you. Again, I say rejoice. That is what our good shepherd says to us today. Let us rejoice in good times and bad. And let us find peace in this time of struggle and division.